News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are back for hour two of the El Paso History Radio Show, streaming live on Facebook, a bunch of places apparently, and also on AM 690, as it always is. Thank you guys for joining us however you got here. We want to start hour two of the El Paso History Radio Show like we normally do with an El Paso History Moment written and produced by Melissa Sargent. Second point to you now, and people can say, there she is.
She is. That's
how about
her.
That?
There's her, the voice.
Are you ready, Andrew? Here it comes. Her topic today is about using blimps in 1920 to watch the border.
Early aeronautics on the border. U.S. Army Camp Owen Biren, later known as Biggs Airfield, was opened in 1920 as home to one of the first C-1 semi-rigid airships that was going to be used as part of the team of airships to patrol the U.S.-Mexican border, from the Pacific Ocean to the Gulf of Mexico. What with the continued unrest in neighboring Mexico, bootleggers smuggling liquor, and raids by Mexican bandits robbing U.S. ranchers along the border, the Army felt these airships could be used as excellent observation posts silently traveling the border. A huge airship hangar was built to house the C-1 airship. The hangar, unfortunately, was built with a north-south orientation, and with El Paso's prevailing winds blowing down off the Franklin Mountains west to east, it made it nearly impossible to deploy the airship from the hangar, in all but the calmest of winds, a rarity in West Texas. But this was not the only problem with these large lighter-than-air ships. Other airships in the team suffered crashes and other operational problems, and the program was soon abandoned. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
I remember seeing those blimps come through in modern times.
Oh, yeah, the Goodyear blimp and the small ones, the Fujifilm.
They have a hard time sometimes if they come in the wrong day.
Well, a lot of them, they stay out at Santa Teresa.
Right.
Because they'll come over our house, buzz around, and then they head right across over there just to spend the night.
You got this going for the History Alliance these days.
Yes, for the El Paso History Alliance, which has got over 50,000 followers. They're all interested in the history. It's amazing.
It is tough.
And you can check them out at their Facebook page, El Paso History Alliance page. And also, we got to mention another great partner who is helping us out with this, and that's Barbara Givenbaney and
BGB.
BGB. Her crew, who is an operator of a great Facebook page called Remember in El Paso Win, and they're over 33,000 plus members. And it's a great site if you've never been there. They've got stories and pictures and people sharing their own family stories, and it's great. I really, really enjoy it.
Their picture archive is incredible on Facebook. Take a look at stuff in there. Also, moderator Craig Hayes and Barbara is the chief bottle washer. Ken Weiss and Paul Louis. And it's an interesting crowd there, so check them out when you can. All right.
It takes a lot of work.
Shall we turn our attentions now to our two guests and topics?
I think so.
And in hour two, we explore the impact of the McGoffin family and their historic hacienda on El Paso with site manager Jeff Harris and program specialist Michelle Wranglewood. Good morning to Jeff and good morning to Michelle. How are you guys doing? Oh, I just knocked off Jeff. Hey, Jeff is going to have to call back. And let's see if I can get Michelle in there. You know, I blew them both off.
Well, let me tell you a little bit more about it while we're waiting to get that straightened out. Jeff Harris is the site manager for McGoffin Home. And Jeff, he began volunteering in museums at age 15 after working as an educator and lawyer. His love of museums led him to a career change to the museum work full time. And Michelle, she's been an education and public events coordinator at Texas Historical Commission's McGoffin Home for the last 4 years, and she previously spent a decade conserving and reproducing decorative finishes in historically significant buildings across the U.S. So, I mean, they both come with wonderful accolades and history and have done a lot for McGoffin Home.
And they quit being dial tone now. I got them back.
Are they alive?
Hey, Jeff, good morning.
There they are.
Hi, Jackson. Hi, Melissa. How are you?
Fine.
I warned you I could do that real easy. What I did is I hit the buttons out of order. Sorry about that. So good morning, Jeff Harris. And you're the site manager there. We got your picture up on the streaming site here. And also, Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
We're doing all right here. We have read your bios. I hope we got you right. You may not have heard it as the phone dialing was going on.
They were all lies.
But Jeff, as the site manager of the McGoffin Home, tell us why the McGoffin Home is what it is, and why is the McGoffin Home, which is on McGoffin Avenue, oddly enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it a Texas State Historic Site?
Well, actually, we're on the corner of Octavia and McGoffin.
Yes.
And Octavia is Joseph McGoffin's wife. So she was the first woman of El Paso for a while. I remember in 1976 with the bicentennial, that's when McGoffin became a state site. I remember all the bicentennial hoopla. I had just started college. In my hometown, they painted all the fire hydrants red, white, and blue. They had little tableaus and they did some parades and things. But there was a lot of interest in history generally. And I know that influenced one of the reasons the McGoffin Home was restored and taken care of so fabulously.
Well, Janice Woods Wendell was one of those people back in the day with Mayor Don Henderson. And together they figured out that we have to save the site because I think the housing people wanted to blow it away and put in more affordable housing, shall we say.
Yeah, that's what I understand. I've talked with Janice a couple of times. Fabulous lady.
Well, yeah, she understands how to save El Paso history. Hats off to her. The idea of having a McGoffin Home, I remember, Michelle, you're in El Paso, and you went away and got a career in wood restoration and old buildings and stuff, didn't you?
It was actually finishes restoration, although I did give one very interesting lecture on wood preservation in Galveston. But but yeah, my specialties are finishes.
Okay, but you showed back up to do work on the McGoffin Home, and you say, well, I'm going back to my old hometown. I'll just go back and work on the McGoffin Home. Isn't that basically what happened to you?
Yes, that's exactly it. I came back for a restoration project back in 2011. Working with Source Historical Services, and I fell in love with the place, absolutely. And then when the educator position opened up, I applied immediately.
Well, that's a good thing you got it, because you are somebody who really cares about El Paso history. Now, when you grew up, Michelle, in El Paso, were you taught any of this history?
No, I wasn't. Actually, I can't tell you how many times I now give tours to school students, and I ask these questions specifically knowing that I wasn't taught this growing up in school here.
Same
in El
here.
Paso.
Same with me. I went 1 through 12 plus 1 in UTEP, but nobody explained to me the McGoffin Home back in the day. Actually, before, just a quick aside on my life, my grandmother knew Josephine McGoffin. I was in that home when I was 5 years old and when I was 9 years old. As a tourist, not as a tourist, but as a family member's friend,
and cool.
They tried to make me sleep back in that back room with those wire beds. I remember dusty old wire beds, and I didn't know anything to do with it. My grandmother, go take a nap, kid. Anyway, but the point is, that's how far back that place goes. And Josephine was still around back in the '50s, and so that's how I happen to know. I remember I could have drawn you a floor plan back when I was a kid. But to the point of now, nowadays, it's an historic site. Jeff, as a manager here, what do you think of this place? How does it rate with buildings across the Southwest? Because this architecture is unusual to be so preserved, isn't it?
Well, it's a pretty amazing place in a lot of ways. It's the only house museum in El Paso. It's made of adobe. When Joseph built the house in 1875, there's only 700 people in El Paso. And railroads arrived beginning in 1881. And when Joseph dies, there's over 77,000 people. So that's how quickly El Paso starts to grow. And when the railroads arrived, people stopped building in adobe. And the McGoffin Home is also very representative of El Paso, because Joseph is the grandson of an Irish immigrant, but his mother is Mexican of Spanish descent. They have a Chinese tenant gardener, and they have so many Jewish friends that put menorahs on the mantle at Christmas.
I have a clip.
I mean, that is El Paso.
I have a clip I want to play about that, but it came from a documentary we did about it. And it's Suzanne Michaels talking about how this place was a Mexican household. Andrew, when you're ready.
Joseph and Octavia McGoffin built this home. Then for the next century, their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren lived here. This old adobe house was modernized as times changed, but one constant remained. Generations of McGoffins who mixed their Mexican ancestry with Irish roots to form a uniquely American family.
Interesting history there. I just want to make sure people understand that even though the name is McGoffin sounding Irish, that was an incredibly Mexican household, was it not?
Yes, it was both.
Joseph, like I said, his grandfather was an Irish immigrant, but his mother's family, some of the first settlers in San Antonio.
And also, didn't he grow up in Mexico for a while, Joseph?
Yes, he actually was born in Mexico and raised there until the age of 8.
So he would have been our first El Paso mayor born in Mexico, I think, right?
Yes, as far as I understand, he sure is. He was the 4th mayor, so not too many before him, so yes.
but he was also one of the... Talk about being a founder of El Paso industry, because what he did...
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Just list them off. The water company, the gas. What else did he do?
Gas, electric company. He also had two lines of horse-drawn carriages that were like public transportation. So he had his hand in public transportation. He, of course, was the one who negotiated to bring that first train here in 1881. He and Charles Moorhead. He actually brought Charles Moorhead from Kansas to El Paso. Now, Charles Moorhead actually had served as mayor of Leavenworth, Kansas, and then later on, at Joseph's behest, comes to El Paso and later on becomes mayor of El Paso as well.
Interesting thing. They stayed in that room where I couldn't take my nap. I remember that when I did the videos, I'm thinking, this room is very familiar for some reason. And it turns out that Joseph McGoffin brought those guys in. And let's just put the undercurrent here. They were all Freemasons, were they not?
Yes, they were. But also understand that Joseph doesn't become a Freemason until 1870. So he actually had lived here for about 2 years before he petitions. And I actually have seen his petition to El Paso Lodge 130 here in El Paso, and it was handwritten, done on New Year's Day, 1870.
Well, that's the point. Freemasonry was kind of a glue. We had a show earlier this year about that, how Freemasonry was a glue that kind of held a lot of the old United States beginnings together, and most people don't know that. And I just wanted to point that out, that the man Joseph McGoffin, although he was Catholic, he was also a Freemason. And back in the day, that was a bit of a contradiction to some people. But anyway, just wanted to make sure we understood that. We're showing right now some pictures of the old house and some of the new house, and it's amazing to see the transformation. Either one of you, talk for a minute about what Josephine did, because the 1896 house, shall we call it, has returned. But in the meantime, in 1930 to about 2004, Josephine's house was there. Explain what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so when Josephine inherits the home in 1923 after Joseph's death, for a little while it spent, she actually, of course, is traveling with her husband who's in the military. So it actually was rented out. And then about 1927-ish, she has the home renovated so that they can actually move in there at his retirement. And so what she does is she plasters right over her mother's wallpaper, I mean directly on top of it.
Oh, my.
And smooths the wall, gives it this Santa Fe look. She puts in this recessed lighting that's really just amazing, especially when you consider this is 1929.
Yeah, it is great.
It's beautiful. And she takes the mantas off the ceiling so you can see the vigas and latillas in the ceiling, and takes off the carpeting from the floor to expose the wood floors.
And once she took off the ceiling, what did you call them?
Mantas.
That and what was the point of that?
It was to give a smooth look to the ceiling. It looks, if you go into our formal parlor, the mantas there, it looks like a smooth ceiling, but it also helped protect the room from any sort of like dust or particulate falling between the lapillas in the ceiling.
Because the roof was made out of adobe, right?
That's correct.
That always just blows me up.
Vegetation and another foot thick of adobe.
That blows me away that the roof was made out of adobe.
I understand that manta is the Spanish word for blanket.
So ceiling blanket. It was catching the dust from getting on the furniture.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
See, listen to what they had to do back then. And tell me about their air conditioning. Open the door.
Open their windows and their doors and stuff. Yeah, the house is brilliantly designed where you have a lot of cross flow of big giant windows. The front and back door in the hall actually has what you either would call side lights or side transoms, mm-hmm. and they open up.
Oh, there's a lot to that house. We got to take a break here. We're talking with Jeff Harris and Michelle Ranglewood, and we got your pictures up on Facebook as we're streaming this out now. And if you need to know what that is, take a look at Facebook. You can go to the page El Paso History Radio Show, and we'll wave at you here and say howdy. But in the meantime, we got pictures of the McGoffin home going by here. And our guests are the people who work there, and we appreciate your time this morning. We're going to come back in a minute and talk more about it. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break here, and people could call us if they needed to. Oh, well, before I do that, you're going to go to Pepe's today?
Yes, I'm going to go to Pepe's today, and I think Bernie's going with me, I hope.
I'm going to swing by quickly and get some takeout. So yeah,
wave at everybody. I will wave at the fans.
I'll wave at the people because I need to support Pepe's. He's a good guy.
Okay. Yeah, maybe some of these people have been watching on Facebook could join us too. Gracie Viramontes, Chris Babcock. Rick Melendez, Bob Marshall, Stephen Paxson, Irene Roma, and as Wendell Stinnett.
A lot of people out
there. Cool new group of people I've never heard
and
of.
And don't be surprised if you're also hearing us on the page, Remember in El Paso When.
That's right.
Andrew has streamed us on over there, and you got on the History Alliance
El Paso
as well.
History Alliance,
so
yes.
We're out on Facebook in big force today if you want to know what's going on there. And in the meantime, we're going to take a break. And the 690 ads will run on 690. We have a separate set of ads that have to run on Facebook just because.
Yeah.
And don't ask me why.
Keeps the lights on.
It does something for it. In the meantime. Okay, we have a phone line open if anybody wants to call. What's that number?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
What are you doing to keep your nose clean? After all, the nose is your body's air filter, the first line of defense against airborne diseases. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the powered suction nose cleaner. Navage cleans your nose by flushing out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs, including dangerous infectious germs. So with all the horrible stuff in the air, now's the perfect time to join more than a million Americans who use Navage. It has over 30,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Why? Because Navage is easy to use. It's inexpensive, all-natural, drug-free and safe, and most important, it works. Think about it. You wash your hands every day. Maybe it's time to clean your nose, too. Breathe better, sleep deeper, feel and be healthier. Online at Navage.com and at Target, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Are you tired of chasing around town looking for disinfectant wipes and aerosol spray? And if you find it, you are limited on quantities? Allure Chemicals has you covered. No limits, no wait, delivered to your door, available now. We also have FDA-approved holiday-scented sanitizers. Please visit AllureChemicals.com or call 915-207-2323. Allure Chemicals wishes you a happy, healthy holiday.
Is the cost of finishing the basement worth the benefit of some peace and quiet?
When questions find you, Merrill Edge Self-Directed Investing can help you find answers with personalized planning tools and insights to help you get where you want to go, even if it's just downstairs. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/withinreach to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
At home with Robert, retired burglar and family man.
Carolers! That's the holiday spirit. Speaking of which, Simply Safe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. Right now, you can get 40% off a new system and a free camera at simplysafe.com/holiday. That's 40% off the system U.S. News named the best of 2020. Simply Safe protects your whole home 24/7 with monitoring by professionals. The sale ends soon, so go to simplysafe.com/holiday for 40% off and a free camera today.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Streaming live as we are, we're still on 690. I got to tell you, coming in next week on December the 12th, the topic is the International Boundary and Water Commission. And that may sound kind of like bureaucratic, which it is, but what they've done over the years, I mean, they were here before anybody else. Back in the day, back there. So they had a lot to do with most of El Paso's history, and we're going to hear that explained by Mark Howe, current IBWC Cultural Resources Specialist, and Gabe Duran. I like to trill that R.
Duran.
It's only one R in there. Gabe Duran, a former IBWC employee. And one thing they're going to take on this time, there's been what Mark does, he wanders around on the areas that they're in charge of, which is all the border.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
all the way up to Elephant Butte.
Yeah, even farther. He goes into California and some things. It's amazing where he is.
With the border. And the thing is, though, he's an archaeology kind of guy. Does stuff there. And Gabe is going to explain Chamizal, which is a bit unusual.
He has great history on that.
Oh, my God. All right, that's December 12th next week. December 19th, the topic is early artists. And our guest is Hal Marcus. We had to reschedule Hal because when we had the Leon tribute, we had to move Hal. And thank him kindly for his understanding of that. But see, El Paso artist and gallery owner, he lists El Paso artists from here who painted our history onto their canvases. And Hal, along with his wife, Patricia Medici, will share our early El Paso Masters Dead Artist exhibit. That's an exhibit in their gallery on Oregon Street. So Hal knows art about El Paso. Yeah. He'll be fun. December 26th, David Romo, Max Grossman, and Father Rafael Garcia. A lot more to say about the history and culture of the Segundo Barrio and why the restoration of the most important building there, according to Max, is a watershed event. Hour one, the history of Segundo Barrio with Father Garcia and David Romo. Hour two, Sacred Heart Church and its restoration. Father Garcia sticks with us, and Max Grossman shows up. Talk about, and there's fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be just in time for fundraising if you want to write a check in this fiscal year. And then one more thing, January 2nd, 2021, Samuel Dolan. He's going to show up in his new book, El Paso. And it's spanning a 30-year period from the late 1800s until about 1920s. It's a true story of the desperate men and notorious women that made El Paso. And he's a researcher from outside looking in here.
He's acted in movies. He produces TV shows. He's an author. He does a lot of articles for True West Magazine. The guy is just all over the place. He's amazing, the stuff he can do. I'll be interested to hear his stories.
He likes our history here. So
he's been listening to us, been watching the show and listening, but listening to the show for a couple of years now. So
he says it's supported by official court documents, government records, oral histories, and period newspaper accounts. A bird's eye view of the one-time murder metropolis is what he calls us. Oh, my God. So you got some more people looking there? Insights.
I've got insights coming up. This is going to be a fun one. It's going to be a Zoom presentation, and it's Nerd Night, Holiday Spirits virtual cocktail event. And they're going to be talking about cocktail chemistry sets, Sun City Distillery Tour. They're going to be talking about Prohibition bootlegging, which Bernie Sargent's going to be doing that presentation. I know.
He's a bootlegger. I
have to keep the bottles away from him while he's doing this. And this will all be done on Zoom. And for event details, again, this is going to be December 10th. They do not have the time here. But, there it is. December 10th at 6 p.m. And you can have your own spirits while you're drinking. I've been watching the show. So go over to insightselpaso.org And you can find out about the program there and how you can tune in. That'll be fun.
All right, we're still talking McGoffin Home, Michelle Wranglewood, and Jeff Harris. But we're going to add a caller in here named Patricia. Patricia Kidney, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm just so thrilled to be able to talk to you guys today because my heart is so full of appreciation for the Christmas holiday wreaths that we laid at Concordia today.
Oh, you've done that?
Oh, it was today. Okay.
Okay.
It was today, and we laid approximately 250 some odd holiday wreaths, and they'll be up until New Year's Day.
Can we come see them, or how's that work?
You can. We're inviting the public to come out and to see how Concordia and our partnership with the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association came about to remember all of the veterans here, which it's kind of partnered with the Wreaths Across America. But in this case, we're honoring those that are not at the national and the state cemeteries.
Fair
veterans
enough.
Cemeteries. So that's why they chose Concordia.
All right. Concordia Cemetery open today until what time?
Oh, 5 o'clock every and you, day,
and what,
8 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
What's the best entrance to pick on?
They're at every entrance. The Buffalo Soldier Memorial, you can park there
oh, okay.
and walk through.
On Stevens Street and Yandel?
In the Masonic area.
And Yandel.
And in the regular area. So any area you choose. And, of course, we have our beloved Leon Metz.
He's there.
All the way back at the South Wall.
Yeah, he's there
and
now.
And he's a veteran also.
And he's got one. Yes, he.
Cool.
We made sure he was laid. So we just want to encourage everyone to just drive through and to remember our vets and our veterans. And we certainly don't forget them.
Patricia Kidney, thank you for ringing up with that. See you at lunch. You never know.
I will be there. Thank you.
She will be there.
You take her easy. Thanks for calling. All right, you take her easy.
That's a great thing.
And we still have Michelle and Jeff here. And one thing about, she mentioned veterans, the McGoffin people, you had at least two people went to West Point, did you not, in the McGoffin family?
Yes, actually, I believe it was three.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeff, how many? What happened to Jeff?
I don't know.
He's wandering.
Jeff's light is still lit. Jeff went down the hallway. I have no idea where Jeff is. But tell us, who was it? Because I remember one thing, that when Josephine renovated the 1896 look, and it, she did that, and you said the 1920s, and she put up some lamps that had military figures on them, didn't she?
Yeah. We do have some stuff back in collections. The lamps, I think, that you're talking about, they were kind of like wall sconce.
Yes.
Type lamps.
And they had a military guy on the side of it, I think.
Correct.
And let's talk about Jeff. Are you with us? All right, I'm going to drop off Jeff's phone line here, Andrew, and he may call back here. But Jeff, you're about to go away and come back on that number that I gave you. That may be him calling in there now, Andrew. Anyway, so the whole thing is the military people, we had major West Point people. And you said that Josephine and her husband... And what was her full name, married name?
Josephine Richardson McGoffin Glasgow.
And so it was General Glasgow who basically went there to retire.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he retired in 1927. After his retirement, he actually worked for ASARCO.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have Jeff back here. Jeff, we lost you somewhere. Thanks for ringing back. But we're talking about, Jeff, the military people that were McGoffins, and where's any of those people buried?
Actually, Joseph's son-in-law is buried at Fort Bliss. Joseph himself is a military guy. He served in the Civil War. He's buried at Evergreen Cemetery. Some of the McGoffin grandchildren and great grandchildren also served in the war.
Oh yeah, so there's a lot of history there. We got to take one more break and come. Go ahead.
I was going to say Joseph's dad was also involved in what they call the Bloodless Conquest of Santa Fe.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes. Interesting history there. All right, we're going to take one more break and come back. And I'm sorry if I lost you there, but we got you back. And we'll come back and we're going to talk. We're coming back with El Paso Inc.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be
interesting.
We'll
come back talking about this.
All right, shall we take a break?
Yes, we shall.
Call us if you need to.
915 844-587-6 or 915-544-KTSM.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
From UFOs to government conspiracies, the world is full of the stuff they don't want you to know.
Here's where it gets crazy.
If you found a GPS device on your vehicle, would you remove it or would you just leave it there?
No, you put it on another vehicle. That's obvious.
Each episode dives deep into the world's strangest topics, from hidden history to the bleeding edges of science and beyond. Listen to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Research Raccoon is the easy and affordable way to get smarter about your customers. Whether you need a new name for your business or launching a new product or don't even know what questions to ask, Research Raccoon can poll U.S.-based customers that day, giving you clean data to help you decide. No matter the size of your business, Research Raccoon gives you the tools to learn at an affordable price. So move with confidence with Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more. Research Raccoon. Fast results with big data.
Since 2004, men choose Andro 400 for one reason. Results.
This really worked. I've lost 35 pounds. It's just unbelievable. I never lost weight like that easily in my life.
Congratulations, Stephen, on losing 35 pounds. Now, listen to Leonard's results.
So when I went to my doctor, I was telling him about your product, Andro 400, and he said that it was okay for me to take it. So I started taking it. I just came back from the doctor yesterday. I'm down to 190 from 236, and he told me to continue to doing what I'm doing.
Outstanding, Leonard, losing 46 pounds. Guys, if achieving results like losing belly fat, gaining energy, and improving testosterone levels are what you're looking for, then get Andro 400. We guarantee the results. Start today and get free shipping. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're going to take a moment here and explain to you what's going on this week only. Whoops. In this week. Stand by for Melissa to find the page.
She had the wrong script.
This week only in El Paso, Inc.
Who will be this year's El Pasoan of the Year? I don't think it's going to be me.
No. Nope.
Learn more about the nominees and keep an eye out for the big announcement.
There's always an El Paso connection. This time, one El Pasoan was behind a vaccine push that involved the king himself back in the day, Elvis Presley.
The incoming district attorney defends her decision to shake up the DA's office as some attorneys lose their jobs and enter a tight job market for El Paso lawyers.
El Paso's business journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
Go to elpasoinc.com and order it online.
Tomorrow night on ABC 7 Extra, Nate Ryan is the host for a special extra on the status of college and high school sports in these pandemic times. His guests are people who work in the high school and college industry of sports.
Join host Nate Ryan for ABC 7 Extra Sunday night at 10:35 p.m.
All right, we got Michelle Wood, Wranglewood, and you have also Jeff Harris. We had a caller off air, didn't want to get on and ask the question, but they asked the question to us, and that was, I thought the McGoffins were from Kentucky. Well, how do you deal with that one?
So James Wiley McGoffin was actually born in Kentucky. His father, Beriah McGoffin, had arrived from County Down, Ireland.
See, there it is. Married. Right there it is. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and lived in Kentucky.
And so the kid came over and was born in Mexico.
Yes.
Okay. So we got that all figured out. But the whole thing is it was an interesting family mix, and I want to stress that they spoke Spanish in that house primarily during the day, did they not?
They did speak Spanish a lot. In fact, we even have letters that switch back and forth from English and Spanish. It's very El Paso.
Well, that's what I remember talking to. I mean, years ago, the people are all gone now, but there was a councilwoman in El Paso, and I met her at a fundraiser, and I was talking about how great the McGoffin home was, and she sort of scoffed at it and said, well, that's just a bunch of Anglo people. Well, not really the history of El Paso. I said, wait a minute, lady. You do not know what you're talking about. And, of course, she probably grew up in El Paso, and like you and I, Michelle, was not taught El Paso history. It floors me how this is such great stuff, and nobody teaches the kids here.
Yeah.
And what you guys do when you have the school bus tours come through is fabulous. People need to, when that's back again available, need to keep that up. Now, tell me, either one of you, that you are doing tours now on appointment, are you not?
We are. If you have to give us a call, we make reservations. We're going to ask you some questions. We're limiting to groups of five or less. And you have to arrive in the same car, be from the same household. So we're not going to mix you with anyone else that you don't already know.
Keep your germs to yourself.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Keep your germs to yourself.
Yeah, more or less. Keep your germs to yourself. And we are very careful. We follow all of the CDC recommendations plus some.
Well, you're a state historic site. You're a state function. You got to do everything the governor says, obviously.
Yeah, we do all the state and the CDC, and then even a couple of things on our own unique to this site.
But the point is, the McGoffin home on McGoffin Avenue is still open for tours. What's your phone number? They call you up, right?
It's area code 915-533-5147.
And you guys will give them a tour or show. Is it self-guided these days, or how do you do that?
It is. It's self-guided at the moment, and you are given a guide to go through the home, and then, of course, we wait for you in the courtyard and answer all the questions.
That's a fabulous home. Talk about when you walk in, because the front door, you walk into basically a parlor.
Yeah.
Andrew.
It's an amazing home. The furnishings, I mean, we talked a little bit about the unique history and the unique home, but the furnishings are incredible. 80% of the things in the home are original to the family, which is unheard of in a house museum.
And they bequeathed it along with the house, and when the last relative lived there and used the furniture up until she left. She passed away.
Yeah, and she's an interesting story in her own right. She was an art teacher at Bowie High School and Radford School, and she taught Manuel Costa and a bunch of other famous El Paso artists.
Oh, that's neat. You walk in, and the main hallway is where they also had their parties. Now, we did a reenactment down there, which is probably controversial in the history of historic buildings, but we did it. Yeah, you're laughing. But that...
I've seen it, so yes, I am laughing.
Oh, my God.
In that, yes, you're right.
We would never get that done again, would we?
Oh, my gosh.
No, I don't think so.
Especially with food all over the place and everything else in the historic home.
Yeah.
But the point was
breaking every rule in the world to make that video.
Describe the table, which is normally a calm little table over in the dining room and sits there politely. What happened when that table was brought out to the main room?
Oh, they would expand it. Right now, you know, it's sitting in the dining room, which is a small room, and it has two leaves in it. But that thing has 10 leaves, if you can imagine. And these leaves are not little tiny modern leaves. They're about 18 inches wide. So when it's fully expanded, it goes almost from door to door, as you probably remember.
Oh, my, yeah.
And it seats up to 30 people.
We had 21 that night.
Yeah.
And I want to
yeah.
thank the Six Guns and Shady Ladies, one of them sitting across the desk here.
Yes.
You guys went down there, but you dressed up not in your cowboy outfits, you dressed up in your townspeople.
That's right. We were all dressed up. We had people from Mexico that were there, officials from Mexico. We had, you know, the big heffies. It was an engagement
O.T.
party.
O.T. Bassett showed up.
Yes, yes. And I was, I was Octavia. That's
there
right.
you were.
A redheaded Octavia.
It was a beautiful scene. You guys had set that up beautifully.
It was fun. I think somebody still complained about how big the beard was on poor old
Yeah,
Joe.
That was me.
Joseph, but anyway, That's the way it goes.
It was a last minute thing.
But we actually set that, and we actually served those poor reenactors, had to wait between courses, but they got to eat the 7-course dinner, which we got from a menu from the MacGoffin home, where they had all these different courses, and I don't think they had enough wine.
Yeah, we needed more wine.
We needed more wine.
You guys got to do something that I didn't get to do, so that I'm like so jealous.
Oh, it was
so cool.
We went in the parlor room where we were all together, and then the men went off to have their cigars in one room, and the ladies were in the other room talking. Mm-hmm. We recreated it as it would have been back in that time period. It was fascinating.
They didn't actually light the cigars house.
They were walking around with them.
But they did drink the port. I'm pretty sure about that.
Yes, we did.
And I got to tell you, they sat on those fancy chairs with their fancy dresses. Once in a while, you just got to do it.
Is that video up on? Is that up
yes.
on?
Yes. That's also on YouTube right now. You can go see that for free.
Yeah, that was a great time.
Go to YouTube.com, El Paso History TV, and you can see that video. But that was an incredible scene. I got to tell you one thing I did. You know, you have the rafters up there, and so I had to put a camera up there, and I'm thinking, how am I going to do that? So we got a big clamp and a couple of pieces of board that wouldn't hurt the actual wood that was up there. So we clamped a camera onto the rafters, and that's how we recorded the scene, because that's the only place we could see a wide shot, and it was a huge event. But the point is, go ahead.
I'm afraid you're going to give Jeff a heart attack saying all this.
No.
It was before his time, Jeff.
It's over with, Jeff. You can't say no now because we already did it. But go look at the – we were very kind to the house. We didn't do anything stupid, but we could have. We just didn't.
Yeah.
But they had the actual 7-course dinner catered in, and oh, my God, that was fun. But the thing is, it was more fun now thinking about it than it was doing it, I must tell you. But it was a great event to recreate what those people did, because they partied all the time, didn't they?
They did. They had a lot of events. And actually, if you go back into the newspapers during that time, you can actually go to it on Portal to Texas History online. And there's all sorts of accountings of all the events and parties that the MacGoffins threw. And it just sounds like such an amazing time.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in those parties.
Well, Michelle, wasn't that the place for people to...
Go ahead, Jeff.
Some of the mentions talk about, you know, this home being a social center of El Paso.
Oh, yeah. Melissa?
Well, and initially, I also understand that in the early days, way before El Paso was much bigger than it is now, is that they had anybody would come through town, even if they were strangers, they would stay at the MacGoffin home as guests.
Yeah, the MacGoffins were well known for their hospitality. In particular, you know, Octavia had an incredible reputation in the city for her hospitality.
Great place. Also, we had a question off air come in on the phone. Was a MacGoffin the oldest West Point graduate at one time? Was he? I don't remember which one. Oh, tell us about that.
Yeah, he served as the end of the long gray line, which is a tradition at West Point where they honor the oldest living graduate of West Point.
Oh.
And you have to understand, General Glasgow lived to be 101 years old.
Yeah. So he got the job, being the oldest dude.
He actually held it for 3 years.
Oh,
he became the end of the long gray line at age 98 and until his passing at 101 years old.
My goodness. Before we go to break, I want to tell you one thing we found on Facebook here. Virginia, how do you say that, Gigi?
Oh, Virginia Gigi, which is probably for grandmother, Schuler Murphy, who is listening to us from Cape Cod.
Massachusetts, the listener out there. Good for you.
Cold. Send us some lobster, Gigi.
Oh, and she has a very rainy and dreary Saturday up there. We're doing good, sunshine. It's kind of cold here, but I'll take this from what you got anyway.
We may be colder than they are.
Oh, but they've got the water. So anyway,
that's right.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Virginia. Thank you for listening in. Taking a break here. Come back and wrap this up with the MacGoffin Home people. And we're streaming live on Facebook.
That's right.
And it's the first, that's about the third time we've done this. And smile. And,
smile and wave.
Well, I got to get used to that. I'm thinking.
I know, I have too.
Be careful what you do with your hands.
Your arm,
do that. Don't do that. Yeah, they're watching. And Massachusetts people are watching now.
Anyway, that's right.
That's very cool. We can take one more phone call maybe after the break. Give us that number.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
Is there something interfering with your happiness? Visit BetterHelp.com/feelhappy for 15% off your first month. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. That's BetterHelp.com/feelhappy.
Your health can't wait. Doctors say now more than ever is the time to guard your heart health.
I'm Dr. Mohamed Jalib, cardiologist with El Paso Heart. Shortness of breath, chest pain or pressure, odd heartbeats, and swelling of your arms or legs are all symptoms of heart disease. El Paso Heart Center physicians are here to answer your questions and help protect your heart. Do not delay. Your safe care is our priority. To make an appointment, call 1-855-93-HEART. Again, that's 1-855-93-HEART.
Hi there. We're doctors at Conviva Care Centers, known as experts in primary care for seniors.
For more than 50 years, the doctors and team members who came before us set the standard of excellence in helping seniors live and age well.
Today, we're working to keep our 150,000 patients healthy and safe with staggered appointments and sanitized surroundings.
Plus, we offer telemedicine appointments and we focus on building relationships that go beyond our center walls through personal follow-up phone calls to check on our patients through these challenging times.
To learn more about Conviva Care Centers, call 1-833-CONVIVA. That's 1-833-CONVIVA. Or online at meetconviva.com.
Let's get acquainted. Because now more than ever, the most important part of aging well is staying well.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I just see another comment here on Facebook from Vince Sanchez. He says James McGoffin Wiley, or I think James Wiley McGoffin, the father of Joseph, led the first El Paso and Southern New Mexico area salt war. There's another piece. That's another movie we can do.
Oh, I know that about El Paso. Yeah, history. That was amazing.
And Vince has to be in it.
And his finger, McGoffin's family, they were fingers were in everything business-wise. The trolley, the original trolley, electric company, you name it.
Yeah, we mentioned some of that stuff. Yeah. It was amazing. But also the Salt War, the first one was up in White Sands.
Yeah, and that's Las Cruces,
Vince
White Sands.
Is talking about there. So amazing history here. We've got the crowd from McGoffin Home, Jeff Harris, site superintendent. Did I say that correctly? Is that your real title?
Site manager, but
manager.
Close enough.
Okay.
Boss.
But, well, yeah, but in the state of Texas, you got to get it right.
I know.
And Michelle Ranglewood, you wash the bottles.
Yeah.
Chief bottle washer.
But you guys have both probably learned a tremendous amount about that place since you started working there, have you not?
Yeah. I mean, it's a constant thing of researching and finding out new things. We just when we know, we find something else out and have to readjust our view of the McGoffins.
Okay.
When I was hired to manage the place, I'd never been in an Adobe building before. So I learned a lot, and it's amazing. Being in an Adobe building changes your whole idea of how a building actually works.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that, because in the summer, the cool air of the overnight kind of comes through in the morning, and then the hot air later on heats the brick. Talk about how that works.
In the Adobe buildings, our walls are about 2.5-3 feet thick. It kind of depends where you are in the home. So it works a little bit like a man-made cave. So in the summer, in the McGoffin's time, it would keep it a little cooler. But now we have heating and air conditioning, and you can't run the ductwork through the Adobe because if you cut out a big trench in the mud wall, the wall falls down. Our ductwork actually runs underneath the sidewalks that surround the home.
It's amazing how the house has been taken care of by things like that. And it's been stuccoed a couple of times that I'm aware of in the last 20 years. And that's always a big job. I mean, that stuff goes everywhere. I've seen it. We had video of it. You take it down to the original Adobe and start over. And it's an amazing process. But it, how many bedrooms would you say that place has? If you had to, when they had it all to themselves and without a state park people in there or state historic site, how many bedrooms was that place?
Well, the home itself is about 6,000 square feet. It's 19 rooms. So how many bedrooms they had depended on who lived there.
Okay.
Because the family lived there for 109 years, a lot of the rooms had different functions depending on who was there. We know one of the rooms had 13 different functions over the 109 years.
Oh, my. And also, I think when the last tenant was there, she lived in the front, what is now probably was an office for a while, but she lived up in the front there.
Yeah, it was the northwest part of the house.
Tia, I'm trying to think what she would be called. Yeah, Aunt
Tia.
What was her full name? She was she a Glasgow? No, I'm coming. The last
Octavia McGoffin Glasgow.
That's
Thank
the one.
You.
Yeah, she was the daughter of Joseph, daughter of Josephine, right?
Yes.
And the granddaughter of Joseph. Okay, interesting house there. People should definitely come take a look at it. What would you recommend for people? I mean, you said five into a group right now because of the COVID nonsense. Which is not nonsense, it's real. But the five in a group and come in one car, one family, and you'll accept that. And I guess you guys have to police that a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, we want to make sure that we keep people safe.
Right.
So we're doing everything the CDC says we should do, everything the state says we should do, and then we're doing a lot of things that are unique because of our situation in an Adobe building and things. We're venting the building while people are in it, you know, extra things like that.
Okay, but when they come to visit, they come to the visitor center across the street first, right?
Well, actually, right now we have the visitor center closed.
Oh.
So if you just give us a call, we'll answer the phone, and we'll meet you by the gate at the McGoffin home.
That visitor center is no slouch either. That's a great old house all by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was built in 1901 by Dr. Justice and his wife, Estella.
So there's a lot of history to take a look at in El Paso. Go to El Paso's only history museum, which is a house, and it's also the one of two Texas State Historic Sites in the county. The other one we talked about, Hour 1, Waco Tanks. Interesting history. And I think it ranks up there because of its territorial architecture. Isn't that one reason that people should come see the house?
Yes, only one, though. There's so many reasons. I'm just, if you are curious, if you've heard something in history that has made you curious about El Paso's place in that history, this is a great place to come because the McGoffins really did experience or took part in so many of historical events here in El Paso over their time here.
A major part of El Paso history. Andrew, we're about out of time here, are we not here? Thank you, Andrew Polkin there. For
yes.
engineering us, for getting us on Facebook several places. And Melissa and I thank you kindly for all the smiling we have to do and
Yay.
Now on the radio. It's amazing.
No, and I like to smile.
Jeff and Michelle,
forget.
Thank you for joining us here. We'll see you at the McGoffin home.
Thank you.
Take care and have happy holidays.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. Everybody
you
else,
too. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Next week we're coming back talking about the International Boundary Water Commission with Mark Howe and Gabe Dunan. That's going to be an interesting crowd. See you next week. Again, Andrew, thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.